sermon title is Enjoying the Good in Good Friday. Enjoying the Good in Good Friday. This year, it is the first time when believers cannot gather together to worship God on Good Friday because all the places of worship are being shut down due to the COVID-19 pandemic. But somehow this experience reminds me of the animals in Noah's Ark. When the world was in a stormy situation, somehow the animals in the ark was safe and protected and being preserved. Right now, even though as a family of God, we cannot meet, but I'm sure you and your loved ones are now at home coming together, and it's a time in which you may feel your life has been disrupted or interrupted, and at times there's a lot of things that you feel you want to do, you cannot do, and there's frustration. You are just like those animals in the ark. Even though it was stormy out there, even though the whole ark was shaken, they were still safe in the ark. Likewise, even though we are shaken, even though our life may go to a sense of big changes, and some of these changes, we don't enjoy it, we don't like it, yet in the midst of us being shaken, we are still in Christ. And He will see us through, He will take care of us and watch over us. You know, after this whole pandemic is going to be over, I'm telling you, the church is never going to be the same again. In one sense, you know, in previous time, we often tell people to go to church, but this is a time in which the church is going to the people. The church is going into the lives of people through live streaming, through online, in which we still feel this is an opportunity in which we can preach the gospel. This is a time in which we still can reach out to friends and loved ones, because even though we are afraid sometimes, even though we may not sure be what's going to happen in terms of our lives, in terms of our livelihood, will our jobs still be there, we can take assurance that God is still with us. And it is when believers come together and able to show their faith in such a difficult time, we can affirm that we still have a good God. This pandemic is not a punishment from God. God is not mad with us. He is mad about us. He loves us, and through the cross of Jesus Christ, it is a testimony of His perfect love towards all of us. And Good Friday is a time in which we want to gather as a household of faith to remind ourselves of what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross 2,000 years ago, that He came for us. He came to die for our sin. God has never had issue with us, but because of sin, it became a gap for us to go to God. In our minds, we were enemies. We thought God has nothing to do with us. But thanks be to God. Thanks be to Jesus Christ. He showed us that God doesn't hate us, but God has opened us up a way for us to come towards Him. And it is because of His grace and because of His abundant mercy, you and I today can celebrate what Jesus has done for us on the cross so long ago. You know, why is it called Good Friday? Well, in the old days, Good Friday was known as Holy Friday or Pious Friday or even God's Friday. But it is part of a church tradition. We started with Palm Sunday, then we have Holy Monday, we have Holy Tuesday, we have Holy Wednesday, then we have what we call Maundy Thursday, in which we remember the commandment of Jesus Christ telling us to love each other as He loves us. And of course, today is what we call Good Friday. Tomorrow is known as either Silent Saturday or Black Saturday, because the disciples were all afraid. They do not know what to do. But thanks be to God, the Holy Week ends with Easter Sunday, or what we call Resurrection Sunday. So the whole story of the gospel does not just begin with the birth of Jesus, neither does it stop at the death of Jesus. It talks about the life that Jesus has, that He came back for us after 3 days when He was in a tomb. And of course, we know that the days will come in which Jesus will come in final victory, when He comes to bring us together with Him to enjoy what the Father has prepared for us in His eternal kingdom. It's good for us to recollect in our mind what happened on the first Good Friday. We know that according to the gospel narrative, Jesus was put to trial by Pilate and by Herod. He was mocked. He was sentenced to death. They put a crown of thorns on His head, and He was crucified between two thieves. And then even though he was dying, he asked the Father to forgive those who came against him, for those who plotted against him, and they were behind his crucifixion. And then he said his famous seven last words, and then he cried out and died. The Good Friday's events was not something just happening to Jesus. There were other supernatural things that was happening around the people to testify that this Friday was not just a usual Friday. Well, we know from the Bible there was darkness over the land for 3 hours. There was an earthquake and the veil of the temple was torn into two. And many saints of the Old Testament period were raised from the dead, and they even were walking around in the city of Jerusalem. And then a soldier pierced Jesus on his side, and blood and water flowed from his body. And then we also know that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus came to Pilate to ask for Jesus' body, and they buried him in Joseph's own tomb. And a guard was put over the tomb because the Pharisee didn't want the disciple to come to steal Jesus' body, and they were afraid that Jesus was going to be what I call going to prove that he is indeed the resurrection, which he told them long ago in the Gospel of John. And 3 days later, we know Jesus came from the dead. But at that time, on Good Friday, all his friends, his family members was grieving at his death. They did not know what would be their future, because the Savior or the Messiah that they follow is no longer with them. One thing we can learn from this Good Friday event is that Jesus did not suffer for himself. He suffered for our sin, because Paul tells us that he was without sin, but he took sin upon himself so that he can give us his righteousness. You know, if you look at your Bible this morning, you can turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. It says, Jesus suffered and died for sins once for all. He never sinned, and yet he died for us who have sinned. He died so that he might bring us to God. His body died, but his spirit was made alive. If you look at another translation, the New Living Translation, in the same text, it says, Christ died for our sins once and for all. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the spirit. Again, let me just want to remind all of us, Jesus did not suffer for his sin. He knew no sin, but became sin so that he could suffer on our behalf. If we understand correctly, Jesus died for us sinners. We were enemies of God, but God loves us so much that even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Can I have a good amen for that? That you and I today can have a right standing. Today we do not come to God with fear or condemnation, thinking we will never measure up. Not because of what we have done, but because of what Jesus has done for us to the cross. And so, in that sense, through what he has done for us, you know, in saving us, he experienced the full consequences of sin that we otherwise would have experienced for ourselves. In doing so, he broke open the gates of hell. He destroyed the power of sin. He erased the law that stood against us because of our sin. And because of what he has done, he gives us now a freedom of life in the spirit that we can walk in that right relationship with the Father. So in one sense, the death of Jesus, though is a tragedy, though it was a sad experience, but isn't it wonderful today you and I can have this relationship with the Father, and that we can call him Father and know him as our Father. And this is what God's intention has been for us right before the foundation of the world, that he doesn't want to come to you as some sort of a distant creator or some cosmic of supreme being that you do not know him at all, but he comes to you as a Father. And this Father is the all-compassionate Father, a Father who loves us and cares for us. And it's because we can find that safety in this Father's love, we know that in his love, he casts out all fears. So this morning, whether you and I are bothered by what's happening around us because of the pandemic, because we may be fearful of our future, may I just want to assure you that turn your eyes not on the situation or your circumstances right now, but turn your eyes to look upon Jesus. As Christ is, so are we in this world. As Jesus enjoyed that relationship with the Father, you and I can enjoy that good relationship with the Father. And that's why Paul says to us in Romans chapter 8, verse 32, he says, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he also not with him graciously give us all things?" Romans 8, 32, let me read to you again. "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" Jesus' death destroyed the works of Satan and set all of us free. So right now, because we've been set free, because Jesus has been victorious, God will not spare anything from us. He will not withhold anything from us, but he will give us all things. And Paul said he give us all things graciously. So God will not be giving us out of a grudging spirit, or he asking us to do something so we can deserve those things he wants to give us in Christ. Rather, he gives us all things in Christ because God is love and he's gracious towards us. You and I do not have to plot and plan of things of scheme to get God to bless us. As far as Romans 8:32, he tells us that here you and I have all things in Christ because of the Father's gracious love towards us. So if we understand this clearly, the Christian life is about standing firm in the victory that we have in Jesus Christ and reinforcing the defeat the devil has suffered. You know, we must stand firm on the victory that we have in Jesus Christ and reinforce the defeat the devil has suffered. So the meaning of Good Friday is that sin and suffering and the devil does not have the last word. So in that sense, if we believe in the promise of Good Friday, we can say COVID-19 doesn't have the last word of our life, or no matter whatever situation. Remember, Paul says 10 things can never stop God from loving us. And we must be like Paul. We must become fully persuaded that here is God who loves us, and nothing can ever separate us from his love. And how can we be so sure? Because if you read in Romans 8, it started with "there's now no more condemnation." And so if you and I can believe there's no condemnation, that means there's also no separation. Of course, the message of Good Friday is incomplete without the message of Resurrection Sunday. What we're going to see is that the next 3 days, when Jesus was in the tomb and when he came back from the dead, he turned death to resurrection, from despair to hope, from death to life. And that is the beauty of the gospel, that when God is in it, he brings about transformation. He brings about a newness of life in which you and I can enjoy. And that's why Jesus said, "I come to give you life and to give you forevermore to the fullest means possible." So on this day, perhaps for every one of you individually or as a household of faith, I would like you guys to spend some time just to reflect one question. How, by recognizing Jesus as our fellow sufferer, changes your perception of pain and suffering? How, by recognizing Jesus as our fellow sufferer, changes your perception of pain and suffering? And for those of you who have young kids, if you or have children, I think it's good to ask your children to tell you in their own words what happened to Jesus on Good Friday. I think this is a wonderful time that we let our children to articulate what they really understand about the cross, about the finished work. Don't worry. Children are natural theologians. Sometimes they have better insight of the mystery of God than we adults have. So ask your children to tell you in their own words what happened to Jesus on Good Friday. And also talk to your children openly how Good Friday makes you feel. Talk to your kids and tell them how Good Friday makes you feel. And so at this time, I just want to bless every one of you, and I just want to encourage every one of you, until we get to see each other again face to face, may God's blessing be upon you. May you be filled with joy and may be filled with the sense of peace, knowing that God is with us always, that he promised that he will never leave us or forsake us. So at this time, let us all pray. Father, I just pray for everyone who's watching this. I pray that, Father, you bless every household. That, Father, that everyone will be stirred by this Friday, that they can enjoy the good of Good Friday. Because, Lord, you declare this day for us in which there is no longer any separation. Because, Lord, you no longer reminds us of what we had done wrong. Knowing that there's no more condemnation for anyone else in Christ, I pray today that, Father, for everyone who's hearing this sermon, who's watching this sermon, that I just want to make a challenge. If you have never given your life to Jesus, as if you had never received Him as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity right now. That you know the Lord loves you and you hear this message, you know He's inviting you to give your life to Him, to put your trust in Him. And so I want to challenge you this morning. Just say, Lord, thank you for forgiving me of my sin. Thank you, there's now no more condemnation of my sin. And to know there is also no separation. If you have never received the Lord Jesus as your Savior, I just want to invite you, give your heart to Him and believe that He is able to transform you in the most marvelous way. And for those of us who are believers, perhaps we have forgotten what it means to enjoy the message of the gospel. Perhaps we got so used to keep hearing so-called, I know the gospel enough, but knowing the gospel is very different to be transformed by the gospel. And so I just want to invite everyone this morning, especially these past few weeks, maybe you are locked in at home, your mind is everywhere, or maybe you got distracted by what you're watching on YouTube or what you're watching on television or what you've been hearing on podcasts, that somehow you're not spending that time just to focus on what God has done for you and what God is going to do. And so I just want to pray that there is a fresh recommitment of your heart to the Father once again, to know that there's no condemnation as well, there's no separation. To know that nothing separates you from His perfect love. And so this morning, if you say, Lord, renew my faith, renew my vision, help me to see you as the way you want me to see you, that your intention is to be a father to me. And so, Lord, here I am, your child. Be unto me according to your word. As Christ is, so am I in this world. Help me to know your good and perfect will through Jesus' name, that I can walk accordingly and enjoy the days ahead, not in fear, not in apprehension, but to know that, Lord, you have gone ahead of me, that everything will be well because you are a Father who loves us forevermore. Amen. Until we meet this Sunday, God's greatest blessing be upon you and bless you all in Jesus' name. Amen.